As believers, we celebrate the fact that God has shown us mercy. We have to remember, however, that He expects the same from us to one another. The Beatitude, Blessed are the Merciful, Pastor Tim challenges us today. Thanks for joining us.
I was sitting in hospitals for years now. Anyone can see many things. When the doctor walks in, and begins to talk to the family, there's that anticipation on what he or she's going to say. The anticipation, is it going to be something good? I've seen tears of joy. I've seen tears of really a sadness, but being with families. I had a tumor once. I never have mentioned before. And in my leg, and when I went into the doctor under Munson, and he was looking at my MRI and my scans, and he was going, I'm sitting there going, is this cancer? Is this not cancer? Which one is it? He said, and he turns around, he looks at me, he says, Tim, it's a good day today. This is not cancer. In those moments of that release and that good news, he looked at me and said, but this is a good day for me, because it's usually the other way around. And so we sense and we see a lot of things that we experience in our lives, that we can look around and think to ourselves, Lord, I've seen so much for so many others. But for me, when I walked back into the waiting room, I didn't feel alone. Because there were so many other people in that room that day was there for some of the same reasons that I was there. To see the doctor, for him to say something to them. There was there's something about that I could look in their eyes, they could look in my eyes, and we could experience and feel the same thing. You have been there before in circumstances in your life. That, there's a sense there that this person that's sitting five or six seats down from me, is they are experiencing the same thoughts that I'm experiencing. They're feeling the same things that I'm feeling. In that, in those moments, I guarantee I could have walked down six rows and sat beside someone, and I guarantee we could have had a really good conversation at that moment. Why? Because they were feeling the same thing that I was feeling, and I was feeling what they were feeling. Because there was something there that bonded us together. We have to come to the place that we have to feel each other's pain. It's a sad situation when people have to go and sit at a bar drinking alcohol, and that they feel more accepted in a bar. Because that person is sitting beside them, thinks the way they do, probably feels the way they do, experience the things that they have experienced. And they find something there, they find acceptance there. More so sometimes than they do within the church. Because there's something that they feel, they have something in common. Us as human beings, we desire to be noticed. We desire for people to take notice and to care. There's not a person in this space. There might be some people that says, I don't care. That's not true. Amen. Down deep somewhere, that we all care, that we want to be noticed, that we want someone to share our pain with. We desire that. We want someone to come alongside us. And through the years of dealing with different people, a lot of people lose hope for that. Is that they're going to walk through this life and this journey all alone. But praise God, Jesus comes into the story. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God, hope walks into the story. Jesus teaches us something today in this beatitude that we're going to talk about. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew 5, verse 7. It's a blessed are those, a blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. A blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. You might think, wow, that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty much, what else are we supposed to know? Well, we're going to dive into this. In the South, we have a saying, and I say it a lot. Oh, I'll bless their heart. Yeah, see there? Cross out in the south. I'll bless their heart. We'll see something on the side of the road, a little squirrel. Oh, bless that little squirrel's heart. You know? We it's amazing. We say it so much that it just comes out of us. You know, in the South, when we say this, oh, bless their heart, really what we're actually are saying, I'm sorry for you, but I'm in a hurry to get to the ball game. I'm sorry for your circumstances, but I got to go hunting. I got to go fishing. I'm sorry for your circumstances. I bless your heart, but I need to get to the mall. I'm sorry for your circumstances. I bless your heart, but I got to get to a science class. Out to church on Sunday mornings, you see something, you go, oh, bless their heart, but that restaurant line is getting long. We throw this word around so much that it actually maybe would have had a meaning at one time or another in our life that if we really truthfully meant it, that I bless their heart. Jesus teaches us to forgive. He even says things like this, that if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. That's Jesus' words, not mine. And even the Lord's Prayer, it says, the Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. In James, it says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Tough words, isn't it? Tough words. And a more of a simple form is that to have a friend, you got to be a friend. You know? To have friends, you have to be a friend. You know, it's this principle, instead of always wanting for someone else to say something to you, saying good job or whatever the case is, it's almost like the Lord is saying, you say it to someone. Instead of just saying, I will pray for you, we actually do. We actually do. Be the first to give someone grace. Well, that right there would just change the world, wouldn't it? It would change every marriage, change every relationship. Be the first to give someone grace. Here's the issue, though. There is always a reason why a person thinks and acts as he or she does. Listen, let me say it again. There's always a reason why people act a certain way. There's always a reason. It's always a reason. And it's something that a lot of times we don't know the reason. Wouldn't it be much simpler to understand and to have sympathy for someone if we knew the reasons and why they act the way they act? You know, Dustin and I were talking, and I asked him permission. One of the things he said to me, he says, Tim, you know, through my life, I have acted a certain way because I didn't really know any better. Hadn't been taught how to live life. And he looked at me and he says, Would you teach me? See, we make judgments on others based on what we know and have experienced. Understand me. We base our judgments on others on what we have experienced. The judgment is usually wrong because that is not their experience, but it's our experience. We hurt people with our judgments, and it isolates people from the church and hearing the truth. Because we base our judgments on our experience and put them on other people. But I'm thankful there's a better way. You know, that's often that we do these things. We make judgments all the time. We make judgments all the time. Every single day of our life, we make a judgment on something. And often we make judgments on other people, like I said, based upon what we have experienced. Even saying it doesn't even make sense, does it? I think for me it doesn't. Doesn't even make sense to me that I would base my judgment on some others based upon my experience, not on their experience. But I'm thankful there's a better way. I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't leave us right here. I'm thankful that there is some truth here that the Lord can really teach us and show us today. I know He has me. He said, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. In other words, joy like Christian joy, happiness. Blessed are the merciful. See, it's an act of the will. It's an act of doing something. It's an act that the Lord calls us. That's just who we are. We should be merciful. Which it just really means this. Ready? Pretty good. A Greek word here today. It's the ability to get right inside another person's skin until we see things with his or her eyes. We think things with his or her mind and feel things the way they feel things. Ready? You're saying to yourself, Tim, that is impossible. That's impossible. The ability to get right inside someone's skin and be able to think the way they think and feel the way they feel. You say, Tim, that's impossible. Then if it's impossible, then God's word is wrong. We might say to ourselves, what is going on? How can I get in someone else's skin and be able to try to feel what they feel and sense what they sense? That is so hard. And why is it? Well, the problem is we don't even try to do it. As we make a judgment, we don't even try to go down that road most of the time in our life. It's we don't even give it time. We're too busy. We got to get to a football game or a baseball game. We got to get to the mall. We got to go eat somewhere. We're more concerned with our own feelings and what we're dealing with than we should tell ourselves a lot of times. I bless our heart and see how it feels when we hear it in our ears. Jesus is really trying to teach the disciples something here. You know, when we say, I bless your heart and soul, that's an outside thing. That's something that's kind of outside here. But when true mercy is shown, we don't stay on the outside. Guess what we do? We get on the inside. Jesus said, we get on the inside. It's that we come along, we get on the inside of people, what they're experiencing, what's going on in their life. And when we feel and think as another person, when we experience these things, I'm going to say a word here that American society has really messed up. We begin to show a lot of intolerance for people. You say, I don't like that word, man. That word tolerant. Tolerance. The American political system has completely destroyed it. And I'm going to say this too with all the love I can. The church has destroyed that word too. Amen. Is that for some reason we say we need to be tolerant or something? Like, well, that means we're accepting that, we're doing this. Exactly right. Because I'm not here to change anyone. I have to accept people or how they feel, or who they are, how they act. But praise God, Jesus don't want them to stay there. Amen. Like He didn't want me to stay where I was. But I can be tolerant of understanding their opinions on life. Their experiences on life. And as a Christian, I believe we can offer forgiveness and even forgiveness on their behalf. When that one that comes from another country that walks across our borders, show mercy. Show mercy. Yes, I'm for the rule of law and that it should come through the port entries, and I believe in all that. But we often start with the rule of law as Christians. And it's like, well, we're going to show mercy somewhere. Why don't we as Christians show mercy and try to experience what Jesus is saying with this word and try to feel what they feel, see what they see, feel the pain that they have before we just throw up a secular rule of law. For that one that acts out in school, for that child that is acting out in school, that one maybe in the grocery store, and I've said this before, if that child was mine, I would wear them out. I would wear them out. And I thought to myself, as being a foster parent, at times we have children in our home and we're out somewhere, you know, and they're not doing what I really want them to do. And I'm thinking to myself, listen to me. I'm asking myself, I'm just a foster parent. And in other words, I made judgments on people that was not fair and was wrong. And the thing is that we as Christians, we do it all the time. And I've done it in my life as a Christian. I would think things. As we go down to a traffic light in Macon or somewhere in a big city, and someone is standing there with a sign that says, I'm hungry, our first thought is, let's just get a job. You know you have. I guarantee you. It's crossed every one of our minds. That's probably might be the first thing that even comes to our mind. Is, why don't you just get a job? You know? Because we make judgments on our experience that we've had. Let me tell you something, my experience. I was raised in a home with a mom and a dad that loved Jesus. I was raised in a home that I didn't have to fear anything. I was raised in a home that I knew when the next meal was coming. And you can see my pictures in high, you know, coming up. I didn't miss a meal. Still don't. Those were my experiences. I never felt unloved in my whole life. Ever. So then how can I, listen to me, what Jesus is saying to us, how can I make such unfair judgments on someone else based upon me coming from a home that I had never feared anything? I'm saying, I hope there's an end to this. There is. There is. For that one that's on a death row, or that one when I go into the jails and I visit different people, when you see something on the TV where someone has taken the lives of many, what's your first thought? Of course, to the victims, and it breaks our hearts. But what about the one that pulled the trigger?
Amen.
What about that person? As a Christian, we say things like, string him up. I've heard it. Throw him in the gas chamber. You know what's amazing to me, and it's happened to me two or three times in my life? Is when people make judgments like that, it's amazing they change their mind when it comes to their house.
Amen.
I have noticed that throughout the years. All of a sudden they change their mind when it comes to their house. And that's an extreme example. Because there could be someone here that's had a child or their family actually takes someone else's life. But when it comes to your house, we have a tendency just to change our mind. Which tells me that we were not thinking with a heart of mercy that only Jesus can give. Because we turn it around when it happens to us, we go, bless our heart. And what's so funny about that is we really mean it when it's us. But as we go from day to day, we say, bless our heart so much that it means nothing. But when it comes to our house, when we hear someone say, bless your heart, you go, thank you. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. When we see, once again, I said about the children in the grocery store, you don't know the abuse that's been there. There's been times I've known the children to have autism, and I've heard people behind me scoff. Lord, help us as Christians to lead a better way. Help me, Lord, to live a better way. We're so easily, it's just easy for us not to give mercy. It's just so easy. You know why? Once again, because we're so caught up in ourselves that we don't have time for it. Let me drive home what I'm trying to say a little bit about a movie called Remember the Other Titans. Most of you know the movie. This was when they split the schools up and segregated the schools, and they brought a black coach in to coach a dominant white school. And so there were white people and there's black people the first time being intermingled within the schools. And when he comes in, the town people didn't like it, so they threw a brick through his window. And let's listen to this conversation between these two coaches. I want you to hear this. That we think we know how someone feels, how quick we think that we have the answer for someone else's problems. No, Jesus is the answer, yes. How quick we think we know all things. Like, if they would just do step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, it'll work. You might say, Tim, so you're saying that your experience and it brought them a great home is no use to anyone else? I'm saying just the opposite of that. Is that I feel like I even have a greater responsibility to love. It's almost like I have a greater responsibility. I think about my dear, sweet wife and the life that she was raised in. She struggled with that for a very long time. Praise God, the Lord delivered her from that, and now she's able to see the way He sees. She was saying, but I don't believe that God wants us to leave us in this condition. Is that we make judgments based upon how we have done things or what we've experienced. Jesus has a better way. He shows us a such better way. Is I don't want people to stay in a simple condition. I don't want people to stand on the street corner and have to beg for food. I don't want that person on death row to even be on death row. Amen. I want to be able to sit in front when I hear news or the TV that it breaks my heart. We are honestly more concerned if people stand for the national anthem as Christians than our heart breaking for those who are lost and undone. Will you hear more about it from Christians like, I can't believe they won't stand for the national anthem. And I guarantee when the national anthem comes on the TV at a football game in our home, I guarantee you don't stand it. Because we're so easy to have judgments. It's because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel something inside that we're superior. You say, well, I don't think that. I don't want that. But that's exactly what we do. And as Americans, we think we're superior to the world. Praise God for America. I'm proud to be American. I stand for the national anthem. But we think we're so superior. When in fact, sometimes I think Jesus will look at us and say, oh, you're so lost. Just go to China for a little while and watch those people worship Him and walk with me. But they know they could get killed the next day. Amen. Does that make their faith great? No. It doesn't. But what it does, it tells me something. That we've come to the place that we isolate people. So many times because of a quick judgment. We hear of a teenager that's a pregnant. Oh, quick, Jasmine. It's about heartbreaking. I've been there. I'm preaching myself today. Understand this, huh? There's no high horse here, no self-righteous here. Understand me. But what's the answer to all this? How can I get into someone else's skin? How can I be able to feel the ways people feel? You ready? It's a great answer. It's not anything that I came up with. It's in God's Word. It's Jesus left. It's really good. Jesus left his Father. What'd he do? Now look at me. The worst thing's coming. Look at me. He left the grandeur. And he literally, in a literal way, came to be in our skin. Boy, isn't that good? To live among us. To walk the way we walk. To feel the way we feel. To experience what we experience. And he did it all without sin. Amen. And that's the reason we can call him the righteous one, the holy one. You say, Tim, I don't know as a Christian know how to feel for someone that has abused a child. It's hard. But you know, I go to jails and sit with people that have abused children. I mean, first time I walked out, I felt, Lord, help me. Good Lord. But they need Jesus. Just as much as I did coming out of a really good home. There's no difference. Sin is sin. But the consequences for sin are greater here on this earth. Would you agree?
Amen.
They are. But Jesus came and lived among us. He walked with us. He talked with us. He showed us a better way. And in the end, what did we do? We put him on a cross. Praise God, he didn't stay in the ground. He rose and he's alive.
Amen.
He's alive in us. And I've been saying and leading up to this, Lord, let me see what you see. Let me feel what you feel. The thing is, are you willing? Am I willing to really pray that prayer? It's going to cost you. It might cost you a reputation. Why is that? You in high school, why is she sitting over there with that crowd? It might mess up my reputation. I'm not saying to go hang out with her or anything, but there's a difference. When I was at Trevecca, one of the things that I did, you've heard me say it before, whenever I walked out with a tray, I scanned the cafeteria. I said, which one can I get today? Sitting by themselves. You know? It hurts me when I see someone in the restaurant sitting by themselves. When I was a youth pastor, I used to go to lunch by myself almost every day. I loved it. I was like, please, Lord, don't let anybody feel sorry for me today. I'll get away from them. More close. He suffered as we suffered. And so we can look to him, and the Lord gives you an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to feel. I want to think the way this person is feeling and thinking, Lord, I want to try my best. And you know, this, you know, our humanness limits us in that. I know that. But I guarantee it, he'll give you what you need when it's time. In Australia, there was a 14-year-old girl named Dolly. She was bullied so much at school. At 14 years old, she took her life, committed suicide. 14 years old, because she was bullied so much. I've even said it before, I would rather for my children to come home sloppy drunk than for the principal to call me and says, your child has been bullying someone else. I don't want either. And what they did when they got home, you remember what I said earlier? You want some bullying going on? There'll be some bullying going on at the Thomas household. 14 years old, she took her own life. And this is what her mom said. I read the article. She said, I wish she could see herself through my eyes as a mama and not through the eyes who made her feel that way. Come on, church, let's look through the eyes of Jesus. Let's look through the eyes of Jesus. And you will be amazed. I will be amazed on what we'll see. And then the last part of the verse, it's beautiful. And he says, and then you will receive mercy. Stand with me. And as they begin to sing,
God help us to not lose sight of the fact that to be merciful certainly means that we have a heart and a desire to discern other circumstances, maybe their history. God intends for us to be merciful. He shows us great mercy in spite of who we are. So this week, show mercy to those around you. Have patience. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.